This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to the fin24.com podcast done in conjunction with SAS FinBank. My name is Mark Ashton and I'm joined in studio by Ian James, Program Director of ICT and Telecommunications at GIBS, Yusuf Randira-Reese from the Yawetu Project, Colin Francis, the Gauteng Operations Manager at CEDA, and on the line I've got Luke McKen, the Google Country Manager. Maybe to kick off, Colin, what are your take on small business in South Africa? Where are we at the moment? Are we positive? Are we excited about what small business can achieve?
Mark, yes, I think through our company, through the inquiries we get, the interest seems to have increased quite a bit. Coupled with the rate of unemployment or the level of unemployment currently, people are finding other ways of getting an income. So I think it's positive. We all just have to work together in creating an enabling environment for small business to actually succeed.
You talk about an enabling environment. I mean, what are the challenges that are facing entrepreneurs out there? Do we actually have an environment where somebody can get a business off the ground?
Mark, yes, we've got numerous successes that we have, but yes, there are challenges. The biggest one for small businesses in the country is access to finance. When it comes to collateral, surety, things like that, we find that a lot of our small businesses fall flat.
Yusuf, I want to bring you in here. I mean, with some of the things you're doing with your Yawetu project, you've got some really promising young entrepreneurs that you're developing there. We're looking at the absolute grassroots basics entry-level entrepreneur at the moment. What are the challenges they're facing and are they keen to actually start a business?
I think that there's a lot of enthusiasm for starting businesses, but then very little on-the-ground experience of what it means to start one. And so a huge constraint that I find, and I totally agree that access to finance is a big problem, but I feel that it's overemphasized in the kind of, you know, with real startup entrepreneurs, the kind of people we're seeing, people who've never done anything. They're saying they need 300,000, 3 million rand sometimes to start a business, and it's just, you don't need that. We've actually started a program where you start a business with 250 rand that you raise yourself. And so you buy something, sell something, you really learn what it means to run a business. Because I think there's too much, you know, the idea is that when you do business, you do it on a large scale. And so I think that's maybe a hindrance in terms of mentality. But the question about what's holding entrepreneurs back, there's numerous things. And I think it would take too long to discuss all of them. But I mean, one of the things that we're finding is an issue at the moment is just say choice of market, I think, in this country is quite a difficult thing. So let's say you have access to capital, you have skills, and those two things are taken care of. Where do you operate? One of our things of our entrepreneurs, if you're a small businessman, you can either operate in the township, for example, and then that's great. You understand the market, but there are constraints to doing business in that market. Mm-hmm. If you want to come and operate in the more formal sector, maybe you don't understand that sector as well. And so there's, you know, just on a very structural level in the South African economy, it makes it quite difficult for small entrepreneurs to function because even at that level, you're not really sure where to go.
Luke, I just want to bring you in there quickly. I mean, obviously, Google is globally recognized. It's a huge name. Almost every child in school knows Google before they'll even know many of the big name South African businesses. What are you guys trying to achieve with the Umbono project? And, you know, what is it? And bring in some of the comments that Yusuf's made there around size of market. I mean, how appealing is South Africa as a market for such a global giant?
Yeah, I think that, maybe to answer the last question to the first, is that South Africa is a very interesting market for us. It seems to be hugely entrepreneurial, and there's a huge appetite for new businesses to emerge. And we're seeing this particularly in the tech space, which is why we've actually put Umbono together. Umbono is a technology incubator where what we're trying to do is bring together a number of players, so early stage businesses, and then provide them with the opportunity to be mentored by Googlers who have certain sort of expertise and experience. Once they're successful, to then put them in touch with angel investors, other local technical experts, and people who succeeded in the entrepreneurial space, and other business leaders to really show them what can be done with their ideas. And I suppose that's the most important thing, is to expand the horizons of some of the businesses that we will be dealing with through a project like Umbono.
And the appeal of South Africa?
Well, the appeal of South Africa is that it's a very sophisticated market. So, I mean, I think that if you compare us to the rest of Europe, there are some things here that are particularly innovative. If you look at our advertising space, we regularly win awards for creativity. We have a fantastic market from a sophisticated market from an internet penetration point of view compared to the rest of Africa. So from Google's point of view, I think South Africa represents a very interesting opportunity to do some interesting work.
Ian, you and I were chatting just before we went live with this podcast. One of the things we've seen a lot of interest in the tech sector at the moment. Do you think the interest is overdone, or do you think it's just a market that's never ever been capitalized on in South Africa?
I mean, anybody with a computer nowadays can start developing technology and developing solutions. So I think that's the appeal. It's quite easy to get started. My experience is that people who are technically minded actually suffer because they don't have the business knowledge. They don't understand the concept of customer, understanding your customers, understanding your market. So they go in with this great idea, which can be a world-beating idea, but they fail to actually connect with the market that's perhaps interested in that idea. And I think that's a big barrier for a lot of tech-type companies. You can turn it around and say, as Yusuf was saying, that you've got entrepreneurs with new ideas in the townships. Perhaps they need to get outside the townships and have a broader market. And I think that's where technology can help your ordinary entrepreneur. Suddenly now, just with a simple website and email, they've got a global market there. It's not just about South Africa. That's the whole continent and even the world. And there are a lot of examples of small companies or individuals in South Africa and Africa who have used basic web technology, just a website, an email address. Suddenly now they're getting orders from the US, from Asia, whereas before they were only selling their wares perhaps in their own township or village.
One of the things that's come out already through the first couple of minutes of this podcast is importance of mentorship. I mean, Yusuf, maybe bring you in here for a moment. I mean, you've got these great young entrepreneurs. They maybe need a little bit of guidance. You've obviously mentioned the issues around expecting too much in terms of capital to get themselves off the ground. How important is that mentorship part of it?
Yeah, I think the mentorship's crucial, especially as someone develops. But we just had a very interesting experience with that 250 rand startup. So we provided everyone who started their business with 250 rand a mentor. And over the course of the month, the challenge was to maximize profit on the 250 rand. 4 out of the 5 businesses got off the ground, and the minimum profit that was made was 650 on 150 rand. The best was 2,500 on 250. But what all the mentors said is that really their input wasn't that much. Mm. It was really almost like a moral support and just a troubleshooting function for less than 20 minutes a day. Mm. But just the fact of providing a system and providing, just making people feel like, you know, there's someone here. If you do have a problem, you can work through it with someone, and that you're not alone in this, and there's a structure to it. At that very introductory level of entrepreneurship, it made a huge difference. But then as you go, I think obviously it becomes more important. I mean, even now in my own entrepreneurial endeavors, I need mentorship, you know, because at every level you need someone to guide you in getting to the next. And it's critical, especially in communities where you don't have entrepreneurial role models. So I think normally in communities where, or societies where there's a lot of entrepreneurs, it's natural your dad or your uncle can do it. Mm. But here we need to think more carefully about how do you systematically make up for the fact that we don't have that entrepreneurial culture yet. It's definitely growing. I think just even in the last year I've seen it. Mm. But you know, it's lower than in other countries, and we need to make up for that.
Colin, I think there's been a lot of criticism toward, a lot of money has been thrown toward at the small business sector, but it's this marrying up of the ambitions of the entrepreneur with this idea that money will be thrown at the sector, but it's not necessarily going to ever be an expectation on return. I mean, where do you guys stand on looking after the entrepreneur and making sure that it's sustainable, that the endeavors that they invest in are sustainable?
Mark, I'm glad I can come in here because I listened to Ian as well as to Yusuf. And that's exactly what we do as an institution. We actually start off by assessing what the entrepreneur or the business needs. And then we work on different programs, like, for instance, Ian's tool to access markets. We've got a program called Access to Markets, Access to Finance, Access to Technology. So it'll depend on what the needs are of the client. We diagnose his needs, and what we do then is we direct certain interventions towards improving the business in that specific area. So if we need, if we see that the client's turnover is falling, perhaps we need to expand the market. So we go into website development, we do promotional material for him, we do signage, we do a whole host of things in that area. If we see that the business is going down, there's problems of mentorship. We've got a mentorship program with the ex-retired experts. It can take businesses that are at a decent level to a level just above that as well. turnaround strategies. We've got a whole host of services that we give our small businesses. So ours is a complete and a comprehensive program, I would think.
Luke, since launching Mbono, I mean, what's been the response to it? What have people looked at it and said, you know, this is a great program. What would they like to see out of it? What are they expecting from it from the entrepreneur side?
I think the response so far has been overwhelmingly positive. And particularly the notion that we're actually dealing with very early stage businesses, I think, has been very appealing. The other thing that, just connecting to what some of the other speakers have mentioned, is the importance of the mentorship component of what we're providing, I think, it's a key part of the program. And if you think about an early stage business and some of the things that people need to hone their ideas, what we're able to provide them with is deep technical expertise, if it's a technical idea. But then not only that, we're able to couple that technical insight to the different business models that are available online and provide people with the kind of advice and consultancy services required to help them take that technical idea and transform it into something that is in fact something that will hopefully make them money over time. And I think that's an incredibly important part of what we're trying to achieve, is not just build businesses that are based on successful technical ideas, but actually have sustainable businesses that have successful business models associated with those ideas.
And looking at what we've seen internationally, I mean, there seems to be a far more collaborative spirit coming into South African entrepreneurship, but we still seem to be quite a long way away in terms of technology suppliers, mentorship, funding programs. Everything still seems to be quite fractious in terms of the different role players. Do you think technology has a role in bringing those people together?
Yes, I would suggest almost certainly. I mean, many of the technologies that we actually use to support a project like this are in fact collaborative. If you think about the fact that much of what we do using, for instance, cloud-based solutions through, say, Google Apps, for argument's sake, it enables people to collaborate in real time. And the very fact that you're using those sort of cloud-based technologies, it facilitates collaboration, not just at a project level, but I think amongst all of the different players in the whole sort of tech space, it enables them to speak at the same time and to provide contributions on a level playing field so that all of the businesses can really, I suppose, take this advice and use it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'd like to put a similar question to you. I mean, we have a very fractious environment for small business. I mean, I suppose it's fair to say that most small business environments are quite fractious in terms of the different role players that are involved. But you do have this situation where we've got superstars, the Mark Shuttleworths of the world, which have developed businesses, Blue Label, go on to be very, very successful. But we don't seem to be able to necessarily have the collaborative environment yet in South Africa, specifically in the tech space. We seem to have sort of these pockets of excellence. We've got the Silicon Cape Initiative coming up. Thoughts on what we could do to try and bring these parties together?
My view of entrepreneurs is that, I mean, my vision of entrepreneurs, and I'm not saying I'm one myself, but is of somebody with a good idea. I mean, that must be the seed of any entrepreneur. It's a vision and a passion to follow it. And I think if you've got that passion and vision, you will find a way of making it happen. Now, what we're talking about is support systems and collaborative systems, which I think are great. I think the tools we have these days, Facebook, some of the Google cloud apps, obviously help that. At the end of the day, what drives an entrepreneur to be successful is that passion, that hunger to win. So the technology is there. And I would use the technology not just to promote yourself, but to gather information, to go out not just around the country, but to the world. Find out what else is happening out there in your space. Are the competitors doing the same thing as you? Is there a gap in the market? How are they doing it? What's already been done that you can maybe tap in or you can do differently? Even down to basic things like packaging. How are people packaging products or goods these days? In order to so you're competing. You can compete in a world market now, in a global market, but you have to be global standards. So I don't know. I'm hesitant about this collaboration because it feels maybe that sort of kills the spirit of the entrepreneur, this hungry, maybe I've got a sort of a romantic view of an entrepreneur. But I think the tools are there, and I think it's for the entrepreneur to set these up as well, to start a blog, to start putting out their network on Twitter or whatever, to start getting a community and gather their own community together, to get information from potential customers, to get feedback from people who are perhaps trying the products. And then that's a way of judging, are you on the right track and how can you improve?
Do you get the sense we have a business-friendly environment, though? An environment where if you woke up tomorrow and you decided, I'm going to create a technology business in South Africa, or business of any nature,
could you get off the ground with a relative amount of ease?
Well, as a foreign national, I mean, I came here, I worked for a corporate, and then I went, left the corporate and started my own little company. It took me about a day to form a CC. And I work for myself, and I'm a knowledge-based company. I sell my knowledge. And for me, that was very simple to do. And I wouldn't say I got any help, but I didn't get any barriers. I mean, it's for me to make it happen. I guess if you need to make an investment, I don't need the technology. I've been lucky to be able to afford, say, the basic technology, looking at my PC and printers and things. That's all I've really needed to get going. Then, you know, there are organizations like CEDA and other incubators who do help, and especially localized ones. We had at Gibbs last year, we had a lady from the Eastern Cape who was specifically developing small companies in the Eastern Cape area. So I think there is available funding and also knowledge and mentorship available. And obviously Google is making a part there as the latest one.
Colin, you concur with that?
Yeah, I think it depends to an extent to what Yusuf was saying as well, and to what Ian was saying. Firstly, it depends on the idea. And then from there, you take it from there. As long as he can prove that his business is going to be viable, he's got the attitude and the passion for business, I don't think the barriers are as many as in other countries. I think it's relatively easy to start up a business here.
Do entrepreneurs see the same thing? I'd like to respectfully disagree with you two guys, just because I think that there's everything in place, like all the resources you guys provide, for example, that's amazing. Okay, like that. If you want to access finance, if you want to access mentorship, you can do it in South Africa. But in my view, everything happens too slowly for a startup, especially in our context. So, I mean, for us personally, we've had a lot of resources to fall back on. But the timelines of government and the timelines of institutions are just not the same as timelines of startups. Like, people operate on 3 months, 6 months. I won't get back to your email for a month. You know, and it's just, unless you're going direct to consumer, the biggest constraint I find, or one of the biggest at least, is just time. That people, you can't as a startup withstand the time lags that institutions or government have. And it makes it very difficult. So I think if you can, the reason we've produced some amazing institutions in South Africa is because it's difficult to get a startup off the ground. But if you do it, then you've withstood so many things that you're going to be around for the long haul. So in a way, it produces robust institutions. But I think it could be a lot easier, you know, in that we could make it easier for startups than what it currently is.
Yeah, I just give my experience of coming into South Africa 2004. From Europe, I mean, I lived in Europe, I lived in Sweden and in the UK, and I was amazed that everybody I met when I came here seemed to have their own business, or run their own business, or have a little business on the side. So my experience of South Africa is it's a very entrepreneurial mindset. People are very willing and able to go out and do their own thing, perhaps through necessity, perhaps through the opportunity. It's very different in Europe. People work for companies in Europe. I mean, I don't think I know anybody in Britain who has their own business. And I had a friend in Sweden who used to do a translation business from Swedish to English. And she was actually almost discouraged in running her business. The tax regime was so stiff. The barriers in place to start your own company and run your own company were just not there. The system is designed for everybody to work in companies. That's the way it's working. South Africa, it's a very refreshing, energetic place to drive a business. And I'm sure, I mean, some of the challenges I've had with big corporates trying to get just on their supplier list, it takes time. But once you're in there, they're very much open to bringing in expertise, in my experience, even as a foreigner here. You know, I've got various disadvantages. But if you've got an idea and you've got knowledge, then they're certainly open to bringing you in.
Luke, I'm running out of time here, but where can people find more information about the Mbona project?
Best to just go to google.co.za
/Mbona,
and that will give them as much information as they need about the program itself, and then potentially also how to apply for the program as well.
Excellent, guys. Thank you very much for joining us on the FIM24.com Entrepreneurship Podcast, and tune in again next week.